Another bumper pod with a tight midweek to weekend deadline. We're all forking out for Foden, not panicking about Arsenal rotation. And if you're listening to this on Friday, I'm hoping we'll have all had a huge Bruno haul. Hello, welcome back to this week's FPL pod, back on a Thursday morning, and it's going to be a similar pod to the one that we put out at the beginning of this week because, of course, we've had a midweek round of action. There's no time for off the bench, so we're here to review and preview once again. Also, because we're recording on a Thursday morning, it does mean that we haven't seen the final game, which is Manchester United West Ham on Thursday. And as someone that brought in Bruno Fernandes, I'm hoping the injury rumours aren't true and the fact that he's going to get loads of points tonight. But let's just check in. Morning, Sam. Morning, Jules. Let's check in with how things are going. I'm going to try and get through this quickly because I realised on Monday a fast pace is key to these. Hats off to you guys that do off the bench because you do have to rattle through it. No time for our chit chat. So firstly, hello Sam, good game week for you so far.
Hooray! It's been another good week. It was on the back of Tuesday evening, everyone had returned and I was thinking, oh, this is going to be great. And then of course the normal midweek rotation kicked in on the Wednesday evening fixtures, and Timber not getting his clean sheet points has frustrated me. Saka coming off the bench. At least he came off the bench and got a return. So that was nice. At one point, I was thinking, oh, I might be down to 10 here because Van de Ven was my only bench player that was actually available for this week, apart from King. And he obviously didn't play. So I was down to just 1 point from King on the bench, thinking, oh, this is going to be a disaster if none of these players come off the bench. But actually, in the end, it was fine. So 75 points. I am done, though. I don't have any Manchester United or West Ham assets this evening. So there will be a bit of a dent on the rank, but that's another really healthy rank boost this week. So hoping that we're starting to see a bit of an upward trajectory now. As long as Bruno stays quiet and Bournemouth stays quiet, I'll be all right.
Sam, I'm fuming. All Sunday and Monday, I was going to bring in Phil Foden. It was always going to be Phil Foden. And I just thought, I've already got Erling Haaland. I looked at Manchester United's next two, and for some reason, at the last minute, I went for Bruno. And I mean, I thought
you
someone was joking.
Right.
Yeah, but
someone
still be okay.
I thought it was a sick joke when I got a text last night saying, have you seen the Bruno injury news? And then I searched on social media and was like, this really would top off a very difficult few weeks for me in FPL. So yeah, I'm praying. If you listen to this on Friday, you're probably going to be laughing at me when Bruno doesn't play a minute and I think I get a point off Xhaka off the bench. Jules, how about you? First thing to say is, you were quite brave given no transfers, given the fact midweek rotation, and you had a couple of headaches already in there too.
Yeah, I just wanted to keep the two for this game week 15 this weekend before all the free transfer, you know, kicking for AFCON. So I know it was a bit tricky, and I know I probably would regret at least not making one of them because I expected the rotation. And to be fair, I was victim of the rotation. Neto was on the bench, Timber was on the bench, Thiago was on the bench, Van de Ven was on the bench. So it was not great, but in the end, 63 points. Okay, mostly for the Erling Haaland captaincy and, you know, his really good performance. But Neto coming off the bench and scoring was decent. Gehi outstanding again.
Yeah, fantastic.
Wonderful, really saving me in this one. So for now, it's a green arrow. I might keep it, I might not. But even if it's not, it won't be too bad. And then, you know, I can go stronger at the weekend.
Yeah, I mean, on an ordinary game week, I wouldn't be too worried about 60, but it's just knowing how close I was to doing Foden. And I couldn't believe it. Knowing you two had Gehi, I couldn't believe it when I saw that he'd got an assist. I actually was getting excited when Richards hit Defcon. He hit Defcon just before Gehi did. And I was like, yes. And then when Gehi did, I was like, oh.
Do you know, the best thing about it, Kels, is that I was counting the DEFCONs last night. So I was like, right, Virgil, I need DEFCON from you. So I was watching them count up until eventually hit them. And it was just after Gehi had hit them, because obviously, like you were saying that about Gehi, I felt the same about Munoz. When I saw it was in Munoz's goal, I was like, oh, for goodness sake, I had him on my free hit last week and that's not gone very well. But at least Gehi got the assist, and then we moved because he got the bonus points and he got the DEFCON points as well. So it was good. But yeah, DEFCON felt really important yesterday. And I'd brought in Elliot Anderson, who suddenly decided he couldn't be bothered to get DEFCON.
Isn't that like the first time in ages he hasn't returned DEFCON as well? I feel like I need to take responsibility because I break players.
I think you might have broken him. Because it was madness. Like when you look at the DEFCON that he had been getting over the last few weeks, it was like, how have you not hit them? So I think like over the last 10 weeks he's got them 8 times, and it's just like dropped off a cliff this week. But never mind, we hope that at the weekend he gets them again.
Yeah, we didn't bring him in just for one game, did we? Okay, then let's move on to the FPL Pod Mini League. A few 100 club members this week. Two of the top 10 have already hit it, of course, with one fixture to go. Harry Hune is one of them. Harry Captain Foden had returns from Rea, Lacroix, Munoz, Virgil, Van Hecker, Bruno Guimaraes, Saka and Haaland. He is 17 points ahead of second place Prosper Melusa. Both of the top two, though, have had all of their players play already. Now, in third points, we've got Alawatubi Ajayi, and he's got Jarrod Bowen to play in the final match. He's also got three chips still to play, so they're going to be very busy between now and game week 19. Don't forget to use them. Reminder, we got additional chips this season. You can't carry them into the second half. You get another lot, so use them. Fourth place to Ali Goulami and fifth place Jake Iguala. Still have one player each to go as well. Ahmed Elmadi is in seventh. He has three players to play, including Bruno Fernandes, who is his captain. Hope he has a good vice captain as well. Reminder, the code is XY6XPL. Let's crack on then with our review. And I think there's only one place to start. Fulham 4, Man City 5. Thoughts with people that brought in Nico O'Reilly, because Man City are brilliant in attack, but I think we saw there's still a few question marks in defence. Phil Foden, do we have to have him, Jules?
Yeah, I think so. Now the form that he's in, the fact that Shaqiri's on the bench, which I think gives him more freedom, more of the ball, especially when Reinders plays with him. Reinders is more of a runner than anything else, really, in that midfield or in that kind of attacking setup. So in the form that he is, and you see the way he takes his goal as well, and the first one especially is incredible. So it's back-to-back outstanding performances really from him. But overall, he's been great. So I think he's, you have to invest in Phil Foden. Erling Haaland obviously scored again, as we said he would. He would not stay four games in a row in all competitions without scoring. His 100th Premier League goal in, 111 games or something ridiculous like that. So he would even have that boost of knowing that he broke another record going into the weekend against Sunderland. So Foden and Haaland, really. And for O'Reilly, we knew this before. If he doesn't return attacking-wise, he won't get you points defensively. Not DEFCON, not clean sheet, nothing like that, because they don't defend that well.
No, in terms of Foden, Sam, it feels like when he's on a purple patch, he goes through these patches, doesn't he? And you kind of almost have to jump on at the right point. And I'm really annoyed that I thought, oh, it's just a 1 week wonder. But actually now two in a row suggests to me he's in one of those purple patches. Pep Guardiola's waxing lyrical about him. He looks like he's got a bit more freedom. And when Man City needs someone, if it's not going to be Erling Haaland, it feels like it's going to be him.
Yeah, for sure. And I think I was a bit torn on Foden versus Doku still going into this week. Because even last week, I know that Foden returned and Doku didn't. But there were moments in that game where Doku probably should have got something.
And there's a big price difference, isn't there?
Right. So I was looking at these two options and going, well, this week I can afford to go straight to Doku, but do I want to do
exactly
that?
The same.
And I was like, I'm just not sure how I feel about these two players. So I decided to just buy myself another week. And instead do Elliot Anderson, which allows me to have the straight choice from moving Semenyo to either Foden or Doku, because I can either come down or go up quite straightforward. I think this game just highlighted why Foden feels like he is the one to have. Like, Doku will return, and he did in this one, but Foden just feels like he's on one of those runs, as you say, and the purple patch feels really real at the moment. And the Man City fixtures are great for the foreseeable. So while he's in that form, I think it's time to invest. So that's probably what I'm going to be doing this week.
Have you got enough money? I had exact money on Tuesday night. So I was at the Premier League presenting this for global viewers, and I was watching it and I was like, what have I done here? Because I made this transfer in the makeup chair. I brought in Bruno over Foden. And then I was sitting there watching it and I had exact money to go Mateta to Thiago, and I think it's Enzo to up to Foden. And I nearly did it there and then, because I knew Foden's price was going to rise, but it just felt so scary to do that with so much football left to play. Watching Mateta, and we'll come on to him very soon, be taken off early last night. And now Thiago's had a rest on the bench. It made me think, oh, I wish I'd done it. I didn't do it. And now I'm 0.1 short of doing that. Can you
so
do it?
So annoying. Yeah. So I can already, as well. Do you want me to loan you some money with a bit of interest?
No, because I know what you're like, Laurent. The interest
there'll
rate
be a
will
lot
be ridiculous.
Of interest.
Maybe.
I did Caicedo down to Elliot Anderson to free up the money. So I've now got like 0.8 of wiggle room to play with in my bank from Semenyo up. So it's a really straightforward move for me this week. The bigger question for me is that when am I making a goalkeeper change? Am I just letting Dubravka play, or am I like, and I think at the minute, like knowing that five transfers are coming.
Yeah, yeah. Leave that for now.
I can just park that, yeah. Which is what I just, in midweek I was like, do I make a -4 and just deal with the goalkeeper issue? And then in the end I thought, no, actually just let it be and I'll worry about it later. So because I think I'm just going to let it be and worry about it later, that makes both Semenyo and Mateta my probably biggest issues right now. And Semenyo feels like a bigger one than Mateta, particularly because Foden is so good and still a bit of a differential. Like, all right, he's over the 10% now, but he's still low.
Oh, he's not going to be soon, is he?
No. He's gone up to 11. But even that, like that's still quite differential. That's still going to have a massive impact on overall ranking. So even if he gets to sort of 15 by the time the game week starts, which I don't think he'll go that high, but even if he did, you'd still get a great green arrow out of him with any return. So yeah, I think Foden feels like the asset to have outside of Haaland at Man City for sure.
Okay, we digress. We've gone on to our transfers early there, but I was just intrigued. I was kind of hoping you were going to say, yeah, I've been priced out too to make me feel better. But alas, no, regrets, should have done it. But you know that if I hadn't done that, if I'd done those transfers the other night, I would have ended up with another problem elsewhere and then, yeah, been having to take a minus. Now I'm probably just going to have to take a minus to get Foden.
Might have a problem tonight. You never know, Kels, after the Man United game.
To be honest, it might be simple. It might just be straight Bruno to Foden. Maybe that'll do me a favour. Yeah, it just sums up the last few weeks for me in FPL. I thought I was getting ahead of the curve with Bruno because I thought everyone was going to want him with Wolves next week. I thought I was being smart. I should know by now I'm not smart. Okay, so we're all saying we should have Foden and Haaland. If you can't get, I know we've just said that Foden's the one to have, but if you can't get to Foden, if you're in a real problem, Doku is the next best, Jules, and he's not a bad option, is he?
No, definitely not. And I mean, the goal was a Sanderberger own goal in the end, was just a shot from Doku, but there's the assist, there's everything he does, you know, with the ball, he touches the ball a lot. There's a lot of 1v1 for him. He creates a lot. The end product is not always there, as we know. And that's also his problem in real life, not just for us in FPL. But yeah, if you can't afford Foden, then Doku is still very good, I think. But you need two City attackers, seeing the form that they are attacking-wise.
Yeah, what about O'Reilly though, Jules? Because he was heavily invested over 200,000 managers. You've been a big fan this season. We know what he can do. We know what he can bring. But yeah, it was tough if you had him this week.
Yeah, it was. And he's still cheap. So he's not a bad call. You can sometimes put him on your bench if you want. But as we just said earlier, he will only return attacking-wise. Defensively, they're not strong enough. They're not good enough. They will have the odd clean sheets and decent defensive performance. But his role in this team, to be fair to him, is not to defend. I know he plays at left back position, but he's everything but a left back or but a defender, really. So it was quite incredible to finish on him, that over five goals, there was nothing from him in those five goals. He did a lot of other things good. He could have returned, to be fair, through that game. But it was just one of those evenings, really.
As for Fulham, another return for Harry Wilson, a Chukwueze brace. What a player he looks! But I might have forgotten this, but he started on the bench, I think, didn't he? So because I remember we were in the studio and we were expecting him to start, and then we didn't. We were surprised. Obviously, he still got returns off the bench, and I was watching it with Shay Given and Jermaine Defoe, and they were waxing lyrical about how good he is. But would you invest in Fulham at the moment, Sam?
Do you know what? The last two games, I've been quite impressed by Fulham. They played well. At the weekend we've just had, and they played well again in
this
one.
Did they play at the weekend we just had again?
I can't remember, Jules. I'm not sure.
Oh, yeah. I forgot that she watched them at close quarters.
It's gone from my memory. Let's forget about that.
Anyway.
Oh, please. I liked Fulham the last couple of weeks, and actually I think this game, when they were losing 3-1 down at one point, and I was like, this doesn't reflect what I'm watching from Fulham. Fulham actually have been better than being beaten by 3-1. It was more about, you know, individual bits of magic from Manchester City players. So there are a number of options at Fulham that I actually think are quite good. Like Harry Wilson's impressed me the last couple of games. Iwobi's been good. I thought Smith Rowe, this was the best game I've seen him play in a very, very long time. You have got the defensive options, the Andersons. There are players there that you can go to, and the fixtures are quite nice for Fulham. So they're definitely a team that are on my radar of players that I might think about investing in, because they're also cheap. So if we're talking about wanting to afford Bruno's and Foden's alongside Haaland and all of these other expensive assets, then you're going to need some of these cheaper assets. And the likes of Anderson and Iwobi and Harry Wilson, maybe they just enable you to budget for those across your team, particularly at a time when like Caicedo's out, because he's suspended for another couple of weeks. So when you've got these issues in your team, these cheaper Fulham assets actually could come good over the next few weeks, especially with the fixtures the way that they are.
Okay, I've done exactly what I said I wouldn't do and spent too long on that. Bournemouth nil, Everton one. But I think it's fair to say that Foden is top of everyone's shopping list this week.
Yes.
And it feels like after a game like that, you do have to spend a little bit longer. What a game it was. Bournemouth nil, Everton one was taking place at the same time and no one's talking about it because of everything that happened in that other game. But Tarkowski, a 10-point haul, clean sheet, 2 DEFCON and 2 BPS. Everton are brilliant away from home. After Arsenal, they've got the best away record in the Premier League since David Moyes took over. And we saw against Newcastle at the weekend, they can be frustrating. But someone like Tarkowski, is he good value, Jules?
I think so, especially for his price range. Really, they're so solid defensively, especially when they go away from home, where they play in a more defensive mindset, really, which is fine. They were under pressure in that game a lot, I thought. But they managed it really well. Pickford had to make a couple of really good saves, but there was nothing... It's not like they got absolutely battered. They got a bit lucky with a Grealish goal with the shot deflected. But yeah, I'm not sure if I would go for a Grealish or Dewsbury Hall or Ndiaye now, as good as they can be. But Tarkowski, if you're looking for a defender, I think he's an easy pick.
Yeah, something we've said a lot in the last few years, isn't it? Everton's defenders, we know they're good value and they've got a manager that values defence. Their team is built on that, firstly. But as for Bournemouth, Sam, Antoine Semenyo, another blank. He did get DEFCON though, so you got a bit lucky, I think. Come on, Antoine Semenyo, you don't buy him for the DEFCON, you buy an Elliot Anderson for the DEFCON, don't you?
Yeah.
I did sell him this week, so I was mightily relieved. But Bournemouth in general, it's no win in 5 now. He's suffering, isn't he, from that?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think with the fixtures that they have coming up, Chelsea and then Manchester United. So the next two don't look great either. Beyond that, they do look better. It's Burnley and then Brentford before Chelsea again. So maybe there's a little bit of improvement in the sort of mid to long term. But it's a real struggle to keep the faith with Semenya. He's only stayed in my team because I've had other things to do. There's been other players that have been a bigger priority. He's been fit. He's been available. He's going to start games. So I've stuck there because I've had like a Caicedo red card that I've had to deal with or other things that have been more pressing. So do I feel a bit lucky to have got 4 out of him? Probably yes. Do I want to sell him? Yeah. I think probably he'll go for me this week. I've still got Senesi to come back in. I kept him on my bench, so he can come back in. But there is a bit of a temptation to get rid of him as well because the Bournemouth form just has tailed off. And no, Tarkowski is a nice, easy swap out for Senesi, and he's regularly hitting the DEFCON as well. So what you lose in DEFCON from Senesi, you pick up in Tarkowski. So this game was a really fascinating one to watch just on the basis that I'm pondering on doing that transfer anyway. And then obviously just checking in on Semenyo. And I think it made my mind up really that he can go for me this week.
Okay, as for Bournemouth overall, a lot of us, I'm including myself in this, held Senesi just because of the DEFCON and because of his price point and because I had other things to sort out in my team. But in general, Bournemouth, are we moving off, Jules?
Yeah, I think so. It's just their form is not good enough as a team. They don't have the same energy. Things are going against them too. I had Petrovic in goal for this game and I was quite convinced that they would not concede. And then 10 minutes from time, a deflected shot of all goals to concede was so frustrating. And it'd be the same for them. So, I've sold Semenyo for Foden already. And I think a lot of people will get rid of their Bournemouth assets.
Okay, moving on. Newcastle 2, Spurs 2. Van de Ven benched. It was a rest. It was an interesting one given how impressive he's been for Spurs. But I think he played for 7 games for club and country in November. So maybe you can understand that. It turns out that Romero was the hero. Did you see that one coming, Sam? No. Going to be investing in him?
No, I didn't see it coming. Although I probably should have because whenever we need a hero, Romero does seem to be in and around it. Yeah, the Van de Ven one, I'm not surprised. We know that he is slightly injury prone. So let's not break Van de Ven, please. Let's keep him nice and wrapped up in cotton wool because we really, really need him. But Romero, yeah, 17 points, 2 goals, 3 bonus points, 2 DEFCONs, which he's never getting, by the way. He never really picks up DEFCON. None of the Spurs defenders do. And that 17-point haul is despite the fact that he conceded 2 goals, so got -1 for that and got -1 for a yellow card. So it could have been 19, which would have been a phenomenal return from him. Bit lucky from Spurs this one, but we take it. And I think I still don't think you should really be investing in the Spurs defence. If you've got Van de Ven, he's fine because he's nice and cheap and he's a decent enabler off the bench. I was, however, delighted with my Kudus assist because that felt like a nice reward for holding him for so long.
Are you going to hold him? Are you going to keep him?
he's the least of my worries, Kels. Like, like the Spurs fixtures are actually okay. Like, there's definitely potential in there. And he is the most creative player in that Spurs team by such a long way. So it does feel like if Spurs score a goal, you might find Kudus involved in it. So he can stay. But, you know, if I didn't have Semenya and my only route to Foden was Kudus, then I would sell. I'd sell Kudus instead. But Kudus is in better form, so it'll be Semenya.
Okay, what do you think about Spurs in general? In fact, I'm not asking Jules that because it's just like...
Just poke me. Here we go, yeah, here we go. He's going to poke me now. Here we go.
No, it's not bad. Thomas Frank...
It's not bad, it will be.
Thomas Frank said that the overhead kick...
It's not going to be good either, is it?
The overhead kick from Romero was brilliant. It was nothing but brilliant. He shinned it. He threw himself on the floor.
It was brilliant.
Shinned it. It's not brilliant. He bounced like 7 times before he got through it. He went like, it's the worst overhead kick you would ever see. It's good for Spurs.
Went in the back of the net.
But brilliant. Was pushing it massive.
Okay, Newcastle, Jules, anything nicer to say about them? I mean, Bruno, 7 points. Yeah. Oh, no, actually, I've got something to say. Voltimard, Newcastle get a penalty and I am rubbing my hands with glee. Oh, come on, Anthony Gordon, give it to your number 9. He needs to get goals. He needs goals, he needs confidence. He's Newcastle's number, like, Isak
Gordon had never scored in the Premier League this season. There was no way he was going to pass on this one.
So why was he letting him doing? Oh, yeah, I know, yeah. I agree. But
and
it's still
you were lucky Voltimard got that assist because I watched him maybe 1,000 times. I'm convinced this is not, he's not the last touch
right,
on
Jules,
that goal.
But can I say, we may be lucky getting that assist. Potentially, I do agree. But how unlucky we've been with all these chances. He just keeps missing chances. I love him.
He's brilliant.
I don't want to sell him because I feel like the moment I sell him, he's going to go on a ridiculous... He's been on a good run anyway. Let's not be too hard on him because I think he's had a brilliant start to life in the Premier League. But it just could have been so much better. He gets so many good chances. I think in a couple of months, he'll be burying them.
Anyway, and as we said earlier... on the season, they are starting to play more on his qualities and you see how good he is compared to before where they still thought they had Isak up front.
Okay, sorry, you can answer now. I went on a bit of a rant about Voltimard, but you got anything to say on Newcastle in general?
Yeah, Bruno coming off the bench scoring, it's good. The Gordon Barnes thing is interesting because now that Gordon also starting scoring, I know it's only a pen, but you know, who do you start? Who do you make them play with each other? Barnes has been Newcastle's best player for the last few weeks, really. So now that Gordon is fully fit, it'd be interesting to see. But their fixtures are decent as well.
Okay, moving on to Arsenal 2, Brentford 0. I mean, rotation struck, as Sam alluded to earlier. I think we saw those teams come out. And as people that are double invested in Arsenal with Saka and Timber, myself and Sam, Jules is rubbing his hands with glee because he's, of course, got Rice. We kind of got away with it a bit in the end, despite the frustration of not getting a clean sheet, Sam. I think we just need to be happy with a Saka goal.
100%. Yeah. I mean, and the other thing is that because like Saliba wasn't there either, and because we had mass rotation across that Arsenal back line, it didn't hurt in the same way than it normally does. So normally if your Arsenal defender isn't there and they keep a clean sheet, that really hurts in terms of overall rank. But this week, because Gabriel's still out, because Saliba was out, because Timber was benched, it was kind of one of those where it was only really if you had Calafuri or Raya that you picked up the points for it. So actually it didn't hurt as much as I originally feared that it might, and was pleased to see Saka come off the bench and get something because, yeah, at one point I did think this is going to be an absolutely disastrous evening. I'm just going to have a load of one-pointers in my team or possibly even some that don't return at all if these players don't come off the bench because I don't have a benched option to replace them. So yeah, I feel a bit like it's fine. We'll move forward with the Timber thing. Hopefully that's the end of that now. And particularly as they seem to pick up another defensive injury, hopefully that secures Timber's spot, even if it means that he's got to play that centre-back for a little while. But hopefully no more benchings from him and I can enjoy those points.
Jules, your thoughts on Arsenal? You're in the know, they're your team. Rice was subbed off, of course, as well. It was just rotation, wasn't it? It was just managing a schedule.
With the game against Villa the weekend, which is the most difficult one really of the two, it made a lot of sense. Saka should have had 2 goals at least. I think Rice should have had 1 as well, potentially. So it was a good performance overall, I think, for us from Arsenal. For Brentford, Thiago on the bench, obviously because they play Spurs at the weekend and that's the easiest game for them this week. It's true. It's true.
You are so annoying.
It's true. Going to Arsenal, going to Spurs right now, the easiest game is going to Spurs. Everybody wins at Spurs apart from Burnley. So I could see why the rotation was made by Keith Andrews.
Okay. So we're all at Thiago. I mean, that was, I nearly brought him in, so I'm kind of in a way grateful I didn't. But we don't need to worry about Thiago, do we either? That
no,
was just rotation.
No,
just a rotation, yeah.
Yeah. Is he still the best? Is he the best third forward option now? We're trying to put more money in the midfield, Sam, still. At his price point. Sorry, I put you on the spot with that
you
question.
You take him ahead of Mateta, though. That's for sure right
you
now.
You definitely so much, yeah, but he's definitely so much cheaper than Mateta as yeah, well yeah. now. That's the thing. And that's what I mean. Now we're all of a sudden going, oh my gosh, we need Foden. And a lot of us have got Saka. We've got Haaland. A lot of us are potentially, yeah, I don't know. It just feels like we've, Bruno, if he starts tonight, Man United have got good fixtures. We want a Manchester United midfielder. Then it does feel like we can't go three. Well, with my structure in my team, I need to take a bit out of the forward line. Is Thiago the best cheaper forward right now? I've really put you on the spot with this, Sam, because we weren't meant to talk about this. But
no, that's all right.
I was thinking about this as I was driving to my mum's to this pod this morning, and I was really thinking about it.
Yeah, and I think he is, because you know when you look over the next 5 weeks, they sit fifth on the fixture ticker when you sort them by difficulty. So you've got obviously the Spurs game that you know is really really difficult, as Jules rightly pointed out, and then after that it's Leeds, Wolves, Bournemouth, and then Spurs again. So they have got Spurs twice in the next 5 weeks. But you know when you look at the fixtures that they have in and around that, including the Spurs game, these are all defenses that are definitely penetrable. So I do think he is the best cheap option, because when you look around that, you know, yes, you can go Liverpool top of the tick, you can go for an Isak, but you've got to spend a hell of a lot more money in order to be able to do that. And even when you're looking at, you know, the likes of Jarrod Bowen or the West Ham assets, that you know they're still not cheap. So I think probably he is still the best third choice.
Okay, that shows how Sam's just a font of all knowledge with FPL, because she won't have prepped anything on that, but managed to on the spot just come out with a few stats for us. Sorry about that. Brighton 3, Villa 4. Honestly, this week of midweek action has been so good, mainly for this game and the game at Craven Cottage. I don't know, where do we even start with this, Jules? From an FPL point of view, I'd like to thank all of my Aston Villa players that I brought in on my free hit last week, who are now no longer in my team, for turning up a week late. Sorry, it's been a lot of rants, but I've been very frustrated with FPL this week, as you can tell. Jules, go wherever you
yeah,
want.
Yeah, Cash was brilliant. So it was a good idea from you to bring him into your free hit team. Watkins.
I could feel the points coming. I just got
you
the wrong
knew.
Week.
It's what we say about wild cards, isn't it? They're for life, not just for 1 week. And it's basically our free hit teams. They weren't just for that 1 week. We needed them this
guys,
week.
I'm
same
done.
As me.
Watching that game, I thought, oh my God, imagine, does Kenny still have Matty
no,
Cash?
You
so
didn't.
I went,
no,
I swear
didn't.
To you. I almost texted you. I went and I said, of course she does. She doesn't.
You know that if a player's done well, I'll have sold them, don't worry.
Absolutely. Watkins, you know, back in the team after being obviously dropped for the last game and scoring two proper number nine goals as well, is good. I thought Morgan Rogers was outstanding again, and I'm really tempted to bring in my team this weekend for Caicedo. But overall, despite the shocking start that they had defensively with no Martinez, Bezos, making that massive blunder for 1-0 and then Di Pau Torres on goal for 2-0, they recovered. They're such a powerful, strong team, very good on set pieces. I would invest, to be fair. I know they've got Arsenal at the weekend, but I would not be surprised if they win that without conceding, a bit like they did against City. But they're so good on set pieces and so strong, and Rodgers is in great form too.
Yeah, they're on my radar, Sam. Are they on yours?
Eight wins in nine.
Yeah.
They've quietly gone about it because they had that tricky start, yeah. And maybe they haven't, until this week, they haven't probably done anything particularly headline grabbing, so to speak. Yeah. And I think particularly after they only beat Wolves 1-0 and it was pretty uninspiring, I think there's been results like that have maybe made us go, oh no, we don't want to go there. But actually, we're sleeping on them a bit, aren't we, Sam?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think partly it's because maybe you have to invest a little bit more with the likes of, obviously, Watkins is relatively expensive, Rodgers isn't cheap. So you've kind of gone, well, same with Martinez, right? To invest in the goalkeeper, you've got to spend a little bit more budget than maybe you would want to. So yeah, for me, they've definitely gone a little bit low-key under the radar. Obviously, I invested quite heavily last week on my free hit. I wish I'd still had them in my team for this week, to be honest. But I think it's definitely, I'm definitely looking at it thinking they're a team. Now, I don't think I'm going to do it ahead of the game at the weekend. I think for me, there's a bigger priority, as we've already spoken about. but you know, on Saturday, obviously, we're going to get all these free transfers. So if you're going to get a load of free transfers, then you can use them to have a little bit more fun with your team, make more wholesale changes. And Villa feel like a team that we should be really taking quite seriously now, be it Rodgers or Matty Cash or whoever else it is that you fancy from Aston Villa. I think they are looking like a really good investment option.
Yeah, I agree. Van Hecker. Hello, that was a big haul, wasn't it? I find Brighton really hard to invest in. Like, I just don't quite know where to invest, Jules. Mm. You've got Minter still, haven't you?
Yeah. And that was not one of his best games at all. Van Hecke, who scored 2 goals, obviously, in that one Premier League game, which is as many as in his last 110 games or something in the Premier League. So it's not going to do that again. But we said that defensively they've been better, which is true. And then it was a car crash defensively from them all over the place, everywhere, on dead balls, on normal attacks, in transition, everything. They were just all over the place. So I agree with you. And even if you fancied Welbeck, for example, he was on the bench, part of that, again, rotation overall from a lot of managers, came on and almost scored what would have been the 4-4 at the end, and Bizot made a really good save. So it's hard with Brighton, I think. Personally, I would not go there, apart from Minty that I already have.
No, I agree. Burnley 0, Palace 1. Palace got the win. They ground it out. But, I mean, other than a Palace defender at the moment, Sam, I'm struggling to justify. I mean, I sold Ismaïla Sarr because of the injury. I'm struggling to justify investment elsewhere. Are you?
Yeah. And I do feel like Mateta, it's really frustrating that he got those points last week when we all three hitted him out, because, like, those were the only points we've had in a while from him. I don't know, they just lack a little bit going forward for me right now. Like, and even the fact that when they are scoring goals, it tends to be Munoz that's involved in them, or it's Gehi. We've seen that a lot this season. So it's the defenders for sure that you want to be investing from a Palace perspective. Mateta definitely feels like a player that if you need money, you can save some from and go over to Thiago instead. So yeah, Palace is the defence that you want to invest in for sure.
And is Munoz worth the extra points, Sam?
God. Me and Daniel Munoz, we have a love-hate relationship. I love him. He seems to hate me whenever I have him in my team. I think he is probably just about worth the extra because of the attacking threat that you get. The thing is that Gehi is regularly chipping in with attacking threats, but they tend to be assists rather than goals. They're both just as good as each other, really, for DEFCON points. So there's not a lot in that. Munoz does tend to get more chances to score, though, and that's important. Gay, he tends to get more bonus points, as we saw this week. So I think it's close. If you've got the budget, go with Munoz. If you haven't, go with Gay. I think that's the way I'd look at it.
Okay, sell Mateta, Jules.
It's hard because, you know, he's my boy, obviously. But he's looked tired. I mean, the whole Palace team, Glasner last weekend had a
rant about,
why is the club not investing more and we need a bigger squad, blah, blah, which is completely right. Because they're playing too much. We've been saying it for weeks now that they play too much. He doesn't rotate enough in Europe either. So it's been a problem.
Okay, moving on. Wolves 0, Forest 1. I mean, Wolves haven't scored in over 8 hours now. Manchester United up next. I don't like saying this, but does that mean we just invest in Man United, really?
Yeah.
Okay, simple. Let's move on. We don't really have any Wolves investment because they don't keep clean sheets and they don't score goals at the moment, the two things we need in FPL. From a Forest point of view, we've already said how frustrating. Anderson, nowhere near DEFCON. No Mario again for Forest. Anything else to add? There was a clean sheet at least, Sam.
Yeah, no. If you went for Sells as your Nick Pope replacement, and that is the transfer I nearly made, it would have paid off. Sort of. I mean, the -4 wouldn't have made it, would have been one of those, wouldn't it? It would have wiped its face, really, I suppose. I think he's a decent goalkeeper option, though. The fixtures are okay. And so I do think that he is one that you can look at over the next few weeks. Obviously, it's Everton, Spurs, Fulham before Man City and then Everton again. So maybe the defence is starting to be back on our radar, but we have to remember that this was Wolves who can't score goals. So let's not get too carried away with investment in Forest. I think if you've got an Anderson, or if you took a punt on somebody like Gibbs White, or if you've got Igor Jesus, then well done. But yeah, I don't think, let's not go too overboard on Forest just yet. They might be ones for the future, though.
Okay, moving on. Leeds 3, Chelsea 1. I mean, this absolutely killed everything for me. I mean, what a performance from Leeds. Firstly, they were brilliant. Don't know, I heard Connor Cody say on 5 Live that he felt like potentially Leeds are Enzo Maresca's bogey team. But what a performance. From a Chelsea point of view, it does feel like, Jules, they have these performances in them every so often. And that's maybe why I struggle to invest in them, because of lack of consistency. I say I struggle to invest. I've got 2 players, but you know what I mean.
No, but yeah, I see what you mean. I mean, I think Maresca messed this one up massively with his far too much rotation in the starting lineup, was not ready and prepared, I think, to play in a game like this, where you knew exactly what Leeds were going to bring. All that energy, all that intensity, being so aggressive, making it so hard for you for anything. That's what they did. So I was very disappointed by Maresca's decisions and choices in this game for his starting lineup. I guess the good news for Chelsea is that Neto can come off the bench and score, in a way that Cole Palmer is back. He missed a chance that he should have at least hit the target on, but it's good to have him back. But I just never want to see Enzo in a double pivot again against teams like that. It's just impossible for him to play.
Yeah. Palmer came off the bench though, Sam. Just when we're saying we're investing all the money into the midfield, it worries me that all of a sudden we're going to need him again.
Yeah, and he does affect the way that Chelsea play and the way that they set up, and it changes the way you might want to invest. And Chelsea I think the positive thing here is that Chelsea without Caicedo don't look as good. So I do think you've got time to wait on Palmer, because you've got Caicedo out for another couple of games, which actually only takes us by like 1 week further down the line. But at least, you know, it gives us the opportunity to let Palmer get minutes back in his legs and all of that kind of stuff. So yeah, disappointing from Chelsea, I think, this one. And but I don't think that's a mass panic. Like, if you've got Chelsea assets in your team, I think, you know, you can still afford to just hold and be calm with them.
Sam, Az has been, I know Az is a good friend of yours. He's been on this pod, not for a while, but in the past. He makes me laugh with DCL because he went there and he scored last night.
Yeah, he's on Az's bench though. So let's he won't be very happy. It's the first thing I did when I saw that Dominic Calvert-Lewin had scored, is I checked whether Az had played him or not. And he hasn't. He's on his bench, although he has got a Manchester United player tonight. So if he doesn't play, then he will come off the bench, which will make Az happy.
Maybe cut out the pod. I was trying to big Az up, but the fact that he put him on the bench maybe it's done the opposite. Liverpool won, Sunderland won. Mo Salah benched again, though he did come on. It was a very Liverpool performance, Liverpool of this season, wasn't it? There were DEFCON for Gravenberch, Konate and Virgil, and for Sunderland, Ronaldo, Ballard, Xhaka and Alderete and Mukiele. Mukiele, of course, got the own goal. Thank goodness he's on my bench. Lefebvre, though, with back-to-back attacking returns, we said at the weekend that he was one to potentially watch. What were your main takeaways, Jules?
Yeah, it was good. I mean, that's one of those assists, as you know, because Talbi still has it all to do, really.
But
they all count. You're right, Kels. They're absolutely right. I thought it was good from Sunderland, who are a better team right now than Liverpool, even at Anfield, for Liverpool to salvage that point. And to be fair, they didn't play too badly, I thought. But Isak, who was my differential, and I thought I would see an improvement in after the goal against West Ham, was back to the side that we've seen since the move to Liverpool, really, which was, I thought, very disappointing.
It feels like it's actually hard to know what to say about Liverpool at the moment.
Yeah, and as a Virgil owner, I was thinking, well, at least, you know, they'll probably keep a clean sheet. But Sunderland were good in attack again. They created chances. Liverpool's defence was all over the place. So it's hard, isn't it? Like, you've spent a lot of money on Virgil. The fixtures are fantastic. They're top of the fixture ticket for the next 5 weeks. But they just don't look like they're going to keep clean sheets. There's always mistakes in them. Mm. At least he got DEFCON. I've got him. I'll hold him. Outside of that, I don't think I'd pay the money for the likes of Gakpo or Isak right now.
Okay, moving on to game week 15 then. This has got to be really rapid fire, but hopefully we've covered off a lot of it with our thoughts of what we're going to do for game week 15 in the previous section. Firstly, Sam, remind everyone what they need to do before the deadline on Saturday.
Use every transfer that you have this week. So this is the week on Saturday after the deadline passes that we're going to get our AFCON transfers. So we get 5 additional top transfers in
one go. Just in one go. So from 0 to 5.
As soon as the deadline passes on Saturday, and you can log back into the Apple website, whichever you're using, you'll see 5 free transfers in your bank. Obviously, if you keep 4 free transfers in your bank this week, you'll only benefit by getting one extra.
So Jules, how many free transfers have you got for this game week?
2.
How many are you going to make?
2.
There. Excellent. Dead simple, isn't it? I've got 2 free transfers. Oh, I'm making 2. We are on fire.
You sound like a teacher.
I've only got 1. Can I have one of yours? I really need more.
No, but so you've got 1 free transfer. You're not banking it. You're using 1. That I was just like trying to demonstrate. Use exactly how many you've got. If it says 2 free, use them.
And even if that means that you're making a change to like your second goalkeeper to use it up, like if you think, oh, I've got, you know, an injured player that I might want to hold for a little bit because they're out for a couple of weeks, still transfer them out probably, unless you've got loads of money left in them, because you can bring them back in again when you get those transfers. You want to maximise these transfers as much as you can by getting as many of them as possible.
Okay. I was going to ask you which players managers should be targeting, but I think we've covered those. And I'm just going to tell you that unsurprisingly, Phil Foden is the most popular transfer in, and he's the most popular in pretty much every transfer combination. People are selling Semenyo and Bumo before he's even played. But of course, he's going off. Caicedo, Saar, who's injured. So yeah, he is the obvious transfer this week. That's what we're saying. And that's what you guys are saying as well. Any other names that jump out at you, Sam, for the next few weeks that we think we haven't mentioned?
No, I think we've covered the majority of them. Bruno Guimarães is on my radar as well, just for a cheap option if I need to get more premiums in my team.
Okay, yes, which we all do, it feels like, at the moment. Okay, then time for differential of the week. Another stellar week from you two. Jules with Isak and 2 points. Sam, we said you were going too early on Cole
Palmer. It was a risk.
Okay, go on then. Who are you going with this week, Jules? Because somehow you won with your 2 points.
Somehow I won. It was a few. And I went for Mateus Cunha, who is back playing. I think he will come off the bench tonight in the West Ham game and start against Wolves at the weekend. I thought Ruben Amorim was really positive and nice about what he says, what he said in his press conference, saying that he hadn't picked yet for United, which we know, but there was before the injury, there was a lot more. It was a much better from Cunha. 7.9 million. So I know it's a bit expensive, but he's only owned by 3.6% of the manager. As we said, it's Wolves against United at the weekend. So I think Cunha could be very good.
Sam?
My love affair with Bruno Guimarães continues. It's going to cost you 6.7 million. He's owned by 6.5% of the game. Obviously, he was benched in game week 14, but did come off the bench and scored that goal. He's now returned at least defensive contribution points in all bar one match since game week 7. In that time, he's got 14-2, 10-4, 4-10, and then 4-7. In the Newcastle team, he's third for shots, only behind Murphy and Walter Marder. He's top for chances created with 15. He's the only Newcastle player to return more than one double-digit haul so far this season. He's on 3, and he's also the highest point scorer with 52, and it's Burnley next.
Okay, transfers and captains. I'm making 2 transfers. Jules is making 2 transfers. Yeah. Sam is making 1 transfers because we need to use them. You cannot bank them. You can't have over 5 transfers. So don't even think about it. I should have also added that before. Sam, you've already mentioned your transfers. Just confirm what you're thinking.
I'm going to do Semenyo to Foden.
Simple.
Me too.
She's got 1 transfer. But you've got 2 transfers, Jules. Yeah, so what are you doing with the other?
The second one is Caicedo for Rodgers. I mean, I thought about putting Kudus in just to troll you two, but I won't do that.
I've got him.
But also, you can't do that after all the rubbish you've
given
myself
and Sam.
You're not allowed
to own
him. Yeah, no.
Ever.
So probably Rodgers, although I like a lot the Bruno Guimarães pick that Sam just mentioned.
Okay. Captains, did we see this week, Sam? I mean, I know Bruno Fernandes hasn't played and a lot of people put the chip on him, but did we see this week? If you're going to go against Haaland, just pray, basically.
Yes.
But then the flippers, I guess he'd had a couple of more frustrating game weeks. So I do get why people did it.
It's one of those, isn't it, where you can go against him and it works. Like last week, if you went against him, it was ideal. This week, if you've gone against him, it will have hurt probably until we see what happens with Manchester United later on today. It's Sunderland for them at home. Like
third
they
best
are,
defense, though. Third they, best
I know.
Defense in the league.
But Man City
defense.
Are... better at home than they are anywhere else.
So Jules, are you going to go away from him then? That sounds like you are.
But I think everybody will captain him, so I have to go because if he returns, then
the thing is, it's not as good for everybody else anyway, apart from maybe Manchester United players against Wolves. But then again, we'll have to see what happens with them tonight. Liverpool are away at Leeds, don't really fancy any of their players right now. Arsenal have got a difficult trip away to Villa, so don't really fancy any of them for the captaincy. Like, the captaincy outside Haaland this week is harder anyway. I don't think there's like an obvious pick outside.
Thiago at Spurs is a banker, really.
Jules, we're a quick fire pod. We don't have time for these digs.
Goodness.
Okay, so we're all going to captain Haaland because we're all scared.
Yes.
And because, as Sam said, there's probably not an abundance of other options, but potentially we could look at Manchester United. Okay, then that's where we've got to. Another reminder, your deadline is on Saturday morning. That's ahead of the lunchtime kickoff between Aston Villa and Arsenal. And you need to use all of your transfers. I mean, you don't have to, but you're basically wasting transfers if not. And we're always crying out for more, so make sure you use them. The Fantasy Show is back on Friday. I'll be back in the studio for that, and it'll be available on the Premier League app. I think it's Praz with me this week. Apologies if it's not. Sam and Gianni will be back on Off the Bench next week. And Sam, hats off to you guys because you do have to rattle through these pods. I'm glad you're taking the reins again on Off the Bench. We'll be back with a normal podcast next Thursday morning. Good luck, guys, and use your transfers.